Welcome everyone. Despite the messed up numeric number conventions of last week, we are on week 62, I'm fairly confident. So welcome aboard to a week where I think it's fair to say cycling hasn't covered itself in too much glory. Our timelines have been punctuated by some fairly angry comment and content on the behaviour of certain teams and riders. This Giro's been... it's not been exciting for the racing necessarily so far, apart from the stage at the weekend where Dumoulin was attacking Quintana. But, you know, it's hard to know where racing stops and conventional wisdom takes over and sportsmanship. You know, we're very lucky that cycling has had this code of conduct whereby riders try and not profiteer from another's misfortune, where of course in football they cheat all the time and it's now part of the game and it's an accepted wisdom that the game will be influenced potentially by some cheating. With cycling, it's always been slightly different insofar as, you know, an illness, accident or misfortune, you know, has resulted in a cessation of hostilities. And you know, you can even go back to what is a pretty famous edition of Paris-Roubaix in 15, where the barrier came down and so on. You know, the organisers were swift, they were decisive. Okay, there was riders that risked life and limb to go across the front of a train, but you know, I think that you know, they wouldn't do that again now, they've been dealt with. But they also managed to compress the peloton back and make sure that no one got an illegal advantage from it. There's plenty of other evidence of that. It just seems though that, and as we kind of alluded to last week, that if there's going to be a bit of controversy, if there's going to be a team or a rider specifically who benefits from uncertainty surrounding these unwritten rules, it's going to be Quintana. And it was again yesterday in the Giro. You know, we picked up last week where Thomas was down. There'd been a lot of debate. Orica seemed to be the most vocal that the race should have been neutralised after the police motorcycle. You know, it's clearly influenced the outcome and it's changed how the race will look now. So, where do you go with that? Where do you go with that? Where do you draw the line? And Dumoulin needing a toilet break at the bottom of the last climb. You know, it's hard. Should they have drilled Movistar and Bahrain? Should they have drilled it on the front of the peloton and, you know, put him into real difficulty? Or, and this is where it becomes all so, you know, inconsistent. If that had been a mechanical, you know, or as in the Tour de France last year, if it had been, you know, this situation with Froome and Stannard and a few others went down, you know, they stopped, you know, the Froome commanded the peloton to stop. It's also wishy-washy that it almost feels like we've got to have a proper set of rules that the commissaires can introduce so that we're not relying on this peloton patron. Or we have to say, that's it, everything's into play. And if you stop, you know, for the toilet, or if you stop for a puncture, or if you have a crash, tough. But I think the sport would lose a lot as a result of that. The sport is the sport for all of these quirky old traditions that have existed since the dawn of time. You know, races where have been won and lost and all of that stuff. It's fascinating and it adds to the game. What we're seeing at the Giro is kind of like a new level of... and maybe it's just because there's been two or three incidents fairly quickly. Should they have waited the other day for Tanul Kanger when he hit the road furniture? I think they tried. There was some sort of conversations, but no formalised agreement. And it seems like maybe some of the teams that have got a vested interest in not racing so much, namely Orica, who were, you know, maybe trying to keep the race slow because Ewan was struggling and about to abandon, or because, you know, maybe Adam Yates didn't feel great, or because they wanted to try and compress everything to get him, whatever. But it seems now that both sides of the rule debate on this are getting flagrantly abused, if a non-existent rule can be abused, if that even makes sense. So, you know, this will now, forever, the 100th Giro will be shrouded in controversy, whatever happens now. You know, even if Dumoulin makes a miraculous recovery or hangs on up to the time trial or any, you know, and then manages to keep his slender now advantage over Quintana, or, you know, his whatever happens now, between now and Sunday, this Giro will be remembered, sadly, not for the beautiful scenery in the Apennines or in the islands, but it will be remembered as the Giro where twice Nairo Quintana benefited from someone else's misfortune. And if he goes on to win the Giro now, you know, once you know, you can almost, yeah, okay, you know, the motorbike shouldn't have been there and so on, but, you know, benefiting from some, you know, race leader, but then, you know, maybe Dumoulin's team should have been a bit better. Maybe Dumoulin's team should have been more authoritative in saying that racing stops. Maybe Dumoulin should have realised that he needed the toilet slightly sooner than the bottom of the last climb. You know, because if I... And this is where there's both sides to this debate, because if you're Movistar and Bahrain and, you know, Lotto, Steven Kruijswijk, you're looking at that and thinking, well, if he stopped at the bottom, racing's neutralised for him to catch up, because he's the leader of the race and it's disrespectful to attack the leader of the race while he's stopped at the side of the road, then maybe 2-3 Ks of that climb are gone. 2-3 Ks of that climb that you could have been racing on. So I can see it from both sides. Not literally, of course, that'd be awful. But it just doesn't... It's not a great feeling, is it? It's not making you feel positive about the racing. But, you know, maybe there's plenty... maybe it will be run on the road rather than in a bush. Maybe. Elsewhere, it's been a fairly... an interesting-esque tour of California. Famous virally for Peter Sagan's massive long wheelie up the last... or one of the big mountain passes. And, of course, for Cannondale, ending their two-year... World Tour top-level bike racing wind drought with Andrew Talansky, a rider who's had more than his fair share of misfortune that other people have benefited from. So congratulations. As a Super 6 rider, I am particularly chuffed that their drought is over, because I'd only won, I think, one Pro Tour race since I bought that bike. So I was thinking it was me, maybe. So... thankfully the curse is lifted. Maybe they go on and win stages of other big races. Hopefully, you know, now that particular, let's use a football cliche, monkey is off their back, they might go on a run of achieving, you know, some quality results and come out of the other side looking positive. It'd be great to see them get a stage win in the Tour de France. You know, they haven't really come super close since the Jack Bauer one a couple of years ago, so where they were caught properly on the line. So, you know, fingers crossed that'll end this summer. Maybe a breakaway with someone like Howes or Dombrowski will be the way that they do it. Speaking of teams in form, okay, one win doesn't make Cannondale in form, but it kind of does based on their previous. It's Quickstep, who are pretty much monstering this year with stage wins left, right and centre. Of course, Kittel won as well in California. So, you know, their sponsor search is getting close to being concord. Their self-imposed deadline for finding a sponsor before they wrap the team up is getting close. So from that perspective, we have to hope that all of this brilliant form and brilliant results is luring in someone to, you know, maybe co-sponsor them for the Tour de France and take it on next season. So fingers crossed for them, because it'd be a sad team to lose from the peloton. Okay, well, there we go. So number 62, guarantee you it's number 62. Finished, drawn, in the bag, in the can. So thank you very much, guys. Thank you again for all the sharing and the support and everything that the podcast get. We'll be back next week to see how that Giro has finished, although I think we all know Quintana's going to win now. So speak to you next week and have a good time. Enjoy the good weather, which I'm enjoying now. I've actually got sunglasses on in the team car. It's brilliant. Right, see you next time on the Fendrian Podcast. Bye-bye.